In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this 12th Sunday after Holy Trinity, the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord has been in the region of Tyre and Sidon. That's modern day Lebanon, not Israel. He departs from there through the region of the Decapolis, literally Deca, Ten, and Polis cities, and finally comes to the Sea of Galilee. Galilee is often referred to as Galilee of the Gentiles. So he's gone from a Gentile land where mostly Gentiles live to a traditionally Gentile land where now a lot of Jews live. The point remains, clearly we have a Lord who has come to be the Savior of the nations, as well as the Redeemer of Israel. He does not limit himself to caring about one tribe only. He has come to be the Savior of all. They, whoever they are, bring to him one who is deaf and has an impediment of speech. These commonly go together. If you cannot hear, then you cannot hear yourself. Even if at one time you could hear, when that sense is gone, you no longer have the ability to monitor whether you are speaking correctly, and soon enough your speech becomes awkward and hard to understand as well. Such is the nature of our fallenness. One corruption of our humanity leads to another and another. Whether we speak of moral weakness or physical weakness or mental weakness or whatever, we go from bad to worse. Whatever shall we do? The deaf man actually does nothing for himself. The way the incident is recorded, the Lord has his use of some they. They bring the deaf man to him. The deaf man does not bring himself. And they pray to the Lord, begging him to lay his hand on the deaf man, presumably so that he may be healed. Jesus does more than just lay his hand on the man. First, it says that Jesus took him aside from the multitude. Jesus was not acting in the best interest of Jesus, grandstanding so that everyone could see what he was about to do. He was acting in the best interest of the man, and he acted yet more gloriously by way of his death and resurrection in our best interest. Then Jesus sticks his fingers in the man's ears and touches his tongue. And oh, don't forget,
He spit first. He spit first.
I like Bible passages that talk about Jesus spitting. It so flies in the face of Victorian propriety. The Victorian propriety that far too many people mistake for Christianity. For Jesus, it's not all about being proper. It's about getting the job done. I imagine he didn't just spit off to the side. I imagine that he spit on his fingers before he touched the man's tongue. The problem with this man's tongue was that it was fallen, and his fallen mouth made fallen spit. So Jesus gives him the gift of some of his own unfallen, holy spit, and holy fingers in the ears, and holy spit on the tongue. Those were the very, very earthy means that Jesus used to heal this man. It says Jesus groaned. Why is that there? The story would have been fine without that detail. Of course, some of you who are too addicted to that Victorian propriety stuff think it would have been fine without the spitting detail too. But why is that there that Jesus groaned? It's there for a reason. You see, whenever Jesus restores the health of someone who is infirm, in some sense, he takes that infirmity on himself. He feels the weight, not only of the sin of the world which he carries to the cross, but the weight of the consequences of that sin and fallenness as well. Finally, Jesus speaks a word, Ephphatha. Be opened. As I have often explained to you before, the Word of God is different than the Word of man. Our words have only the power to describe. The Word of God is different. It has the power to call into being that which is not. Jesus, both true God and true man, uses his divinely human mouth to speak the word of God, be opened. And it creates what it names. The opening of the ears happens. The man is healed. This man's story is not greatly different from ours. We were born by nature deaf. Well, not that our ears didn't work, but they would not by nature hear the good news of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Life teaches us from early on that we get what we deserve. So by nature our ears listen for a religion that seems right, which is to say, a religion that tells you that you get what you deserve. And here's what you need to do to deserve the good stuff. The notion that you would get what someone else deserved because he endured what you deserved. Well, our ears would never have heard that. Jesus needed to open them. For many of us, others first brought us to Jesus. We didn't bring ourselves. I was 15 days old when I was brought to holy baptism, washed, named, forgiven, cleansed, clothed with the righteousness of Christ. I couldn't even crawl yet. What a beautiful picture infant baptism is. Of how God does it all, and we do nothing for ourselves. So very often, the Lord works through others to bring us. By nature we have neither the ears to hear nor the tongue to speak his holy name. Jesus opens our ears and loosens our tongues. And he does it with the earthiest of means. He puts water on us. He touches our tongues with something that, if you'd think about it, is even more Victorianism jarring than spit. His own body and blood are placed there. His word goes into our ears, declaring us forgiven. And make no mistake, he groaned. That's why I chose the sermon hymn for this morning, that last stanza. Thank thee for thy groaning, sighing, for thy bleeding and thy dying. He groaned on the cross under the weight of all of your sins and infirmities, and under the weight of the sins and infirmities of the whole world. He takes all of your sinfulness upon himself that he may clothe you with his righteousness. Isn't that great doctrine? You can hear it. Rejoice in it. Go home forgiven and at peace. But wait a second. Jesus never intended any of his gifts to dead end with you. He entrusts us with confessing what he has done for us by giving on to others as we have been given to. And what a great opportunity we have right now simply to be Christians. What do I mean by that? Well, for any of you who may have been living in a cave this last week, there was a hurricane that hit the coast of Texas. I say this tongue-in-cheek, you all know this, and I don't need to spend a second of this sermon recounting the devastation that has occurred. You know. You may not be as aware that Montana is on fire, and there are many there who are suffering as well. Do not let your compassion be enslaved only to what the news media tells you. Where you see need, be merciful. How do we confess to those who are suffering what we have received from Christ? Well, as our Lord himself says, when you give your alms, do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't grandstand. This is about helping people as Christ has helped us. It's not about our doing good works so that we may be seen by men. The good we do may be very earthy. Our own harvest house has put out a call for new underwear and other even more earthy needs that people have. When I think of glamorous gifts, there's nothing glamorous about a gift of underwear or a toothbrush or some antiperspirant. But if you left home with nothing, it's amazing how much gifts like that can mean. The Lord has placed the need before us. As you have received the gift of the Lord's free mercies, confess that gift by giving freely to those who are in need. As the apostle admonishes us, be doers of the word and not hearers only. I remember being in a seminar some time back. I believe that it was led by one Pastor Drew from Louisiana. He was talking about the book of James, one that Luther had some trouble with. He called it rechtstreulich, a right strawy epistle at one point. Mostly because his Romanist opponents had countered his Ephesians, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves," with James's, "Say you have faith, you show me, you say you have faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works," and he's encouraging good works a lot. Pastor Drew had a very interesting and I thought helpful perspective on that. He said James wasn't about how you are saved. It was about Pastor James realizing that many Christians had been driven from Jerusalem in a persecution with nothing but the clothes on their back, and they were coming to house churches on the outskirts saying, "Be warm and well fed," but they were obviously not going to be profitable to the congregation, so they sent them on their way without helping them. He said, under those sort of circumstances, I suppose I'd have written a letter a lot like James. It's, you know, great that you believe, now do something. Once our deaf and dumb man could hear and speak, he started talking, and so did those around them, around him. Let us also talk, and let our actions talk too. God grant that our words and actions would point clearly to Christ and to all that He has done for us. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, by the ear of faith opening gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has healed your deafness and granted you to hear believingly the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, dear ones in Christ, as Jesus' mouthpiece in this place, I say to your ears also, Ephatha, be opened. Hear. Be hearing. Keep on hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that old natural deafness will set in. It did for a time with the people who witnessed Jesus' miracle in our text this morning. They were all impressed with this wonder worker, but none of the witnesses confessed the faith. This is one of the marvelous things about the gospel according to St. Mark. He starts out by saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then you go trucking through the gospel. The demons get it right away and tremble. God says it twice, once at Jesus' baptism and once at the transfiguration. This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. The demons know He's the Son of God. God declares that He's the Son of God. With human beings, no matter how impressive the miracle, it seems like the best they can come up with, "Gee, Marge, you should have seen what this Jesus guy did today." They don't call Him Son of God. They don't confess the faith. None of them call Jesus the Son of God. None of them confess their sins and ask Him for forgiveness, at least not on that particular day. It happens for the first time in the gospel according to St. Mark, when Jesus hangs dead on the cross. And that's where the centurion says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Son of God matters when the Son of God is hanging dead on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. That's why it matters. In fact, that's why Jesus tells them not to speak of what He has done for the time being. They do it anyway, but they're not supposed to do it for the time being, because it's not a question of having faith in a miracle worker. It's a question of having faith in a Savior. And you get that when Jesus has died on the cross for you. It can be that way with us too. How many people think Jesus or an angel has given them a little boost of some sort and they're thankful? Not repentant, not staking their hope of eternal life on him, just figure Jesus gave them a little help of some kind. Thanks, bub. That's not saving faith. And it can be pretty easy for our natural deafness to listen to everything, even all the Jesus stuff, except for that repentance and forgiveness of sins part. Be opened. Hear. Repent. Believe. Jesus' death on the cross has forgiven you all your sins. His resurrection demonstrates this fact, and he delivers it to you by means just as earthy as the spitting and groaning we heard about in our text. Plain old water, plain old bread and wine, but combined with his word to deliver forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In this world, you are honored with the opportunity to live a Christ-confessing life. You are honored with the privilege of confessing his great salvation by doing nitty-gritty, down-to-earth stuff for others. Maybe even so much that it makes you groan. But doing things for others that confess the great gifts God has given to you in Christ Jesus. And hear this, he has already given you those things. Eternal life is yours, and in due course you will be delivered not only from your sins, but also from every last consequence of that sin. Weakness of mind, instability of emotion, frailty of body, all gone, all on account of him who died to save you and who opened your ears to hear it, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.